What is your favorite Bible story? What's the one that you hold most dear and look to the most? This past Thursday, my seminary, which is also the one that intern Pastor Miriam attends, held their annual Trinity Day event. Each year, the event features a keynote speaker, and this year it was Caroline Lewis, who is an author and scholar who teaches at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. As I watched via the online feed, Lewis asked us to think about what our favorite Bible story is. She then said, that story is who God really is for us. That out of the myriad of ways God is expressed in the biblical text, that one story is what we claim about God above all else. That is to say that our favorite story tells us who God is to us. And since I heard that, even though this text was not one of those that I thought of when she asked, I cannot help but think of today's text from Exodus in this way. Mostly because it is perhaps the most important text to an entire faith tradition and is likely a favorite of many Christians. This text, the story of the Passover and Israel's exit from slavery in Egypt, is fundamental to who God really is for both the Jewish people and for us. In order to understand, we need to go back to the beginning of Exodus, when the Israelites have become enslaved in Egypt. They're forced into backbreaking labor by the Pharaoh, and when they continue to produce children and their numbers threaten Pharaoh's feeling of control, he orders all male Israelite children to be killed as they are born. It is into this that Moses is born before he's hidden by his mother and then found by the Pharaoh's daughter and then raised by her. This morning, we meet Moses after he's grown up, after he's witnessed the atrocities that Pharaoh exacts on his people, before he then runs away and encounters God in the burning bush. Moses has tried to get out of being sent to free the Israelites by claiming that he doesn't speak well before hooking up with his brother Aaron so that he can be Moses' voice to the people. And now, following God's instructions, executed 9 plagues on Pharaoh in an attempt to soften his heart. All 9 of which did not work, by the way. And after 9 awful plagues, the Israelites are still slaves. Which is why this morning I cannot help but think back to Caroline Lewis's assertion that our favorite biblical story tells us who God really is, and have some love for this story. Because I don't know about you, but right now, I'm exhausted. I'm wondering when God's going to provide a way out. While I don't think that what I'm experiencing is anywhere near the level of the exhaustion of slavery, but after watching our nation's COVID case numbers continue to climb and just recently watched the death toll surpass 200,000 people in this country alone, and being aware that the health crisis the pandemic has created, beyond that, there is this added weight of the number of people who have lost jobs and incomes and are struggling to pay their bills and might be evicted. In addition to feeling just how divided we are as a nation, having segregated ourselves based on partisan political beliefs, and unable to see each other as humans in this together. Assuming the worst immediately out of the gate and responding without trying to see the other side. Along with bearing witness to the ways we white people struggle to affirm the rights of people of color, often dismissing their experiences as anomalies or due to a few bad apples, and unable to admit how the system of slavery our country employed early in our history, a system not very much unlike the one in Egypt, has fundamentally shaped the way Black people are seen and treated in this country. And then if that wasn't enough, less than a month before the election, we have a president who has contracted COVID-19, along with many key government officials, which creates more uncertainty about what the future holds. I'm exhausted. And like the Israelites who had witnessed plague after plague without a single one changing Pharaoh's heart, I'm wondering when God's going to do something about it. Wondering when God's going to show us the way out of this mess. And then God does. God tells Moses to tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they're to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. They're to roast the lamb, they're to eat it, and whatever they don't eat, they are to burn. And then he says, this is how you shall eat it. Your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is who God is. A God who is interested in freeing oppressed people and will go to great lengths to do it. Yet just in case you are the one oppressing other people, God won't exact judgment until there has been not one, not two, not three chances to change your mind, but at least nine. This is a God who emphasizes the welfare of the community, perhaps above the rights of individuals. Families who are well off are to partner with families who are not able to afford a lamb of their own, ensuring that all are able to be saved. These smaller families will not be subject to slaughter simply because they can't afford a lamb. And perhaps most importantly, with the ask that they burn up the extra lamb or eat it all, this is a God who wants the people of God to leave behind hoarding and scarcity and embrace the notion that this is a God who will provide for them whatever they need. For the Israelites, this is a pivotal moment in which they are being asked to create a new way of being. Not only will they be free of the tyranny of slavery, but God wants them to live in a way in which they care for others, ensuring the whole of the community has what it needs, and then to have faith that God will give them what they need. Faith that God will provide the way out. Faith that God will save them from their slavery to the Egyptians, and then also from their hunger and thirst after they've reached the other side. Even when nine plagues haven't led to freedom and the situation looks bleak, and for thousands of years each year on the Passover, this is the story that is told among Jewish families so that they don't forget. And it's also a story that we tell so we don't forget. We don't forget that we worship a God who frees those who are oppressed, bringing them out of slavery and into new life, giving them everything that they need, so that we don't forget that God will go to great lengths to free us from our own slavery, whether it's our slavery to power and privilege or to fear. God will bring us out of it and give us what we need. This is who God is.